much that we truly can gather together like this as your children in such freedom to praise and worship you. And Father, I thank you too that even as I share the word, that as the word goes out, that it's alive and that does not return void, and that your word accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish this morning. That in all this, that the name of Jesus is exalted and lifted up in our midst. And Father, we give you alone all the praise, the honor, the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, are we ready? Are you ready? Maybe what we need to do is speak to our hearts and say, heart, are you open to receive? I said this in the prayer meeting. You know, folks, that if I share the word, right, and it is not anointed by the Lord, it's a lecture. It's a lecture. We haven't gathered this morning yet to have lectures, all right? So the word needs to be anointed, but that's only half of it. The other half of it is that our hearts need to be open and ready to receive what the Spirit is saying. Amen. So it's on both sides. So, folks, today I want to focus and I want to speak about praise. Right? There was a theme even in our prayer meeting this morning. We were speaking about praise. I think even here as we were leading up to this. So I want to focus on praise and why we praise Him. Why is it that we praise Him? Now, this morning is going to be a little bit different to our normal Sunday morning. So this is going to be like a mini Bible study. Okay, so we're going to be having a look at the Word of God here. And I can tell you that this message, the reason why I'm sharing this message, it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were in our time of praise and worship, and we were struggling. We were struggling. We gather together, we get out of bed, we come through here, and it came to a time of us opening up our mouths and praising the Lord, and it really was a struggle. Fortunately, Clem came forward and he kind of commented on it, so I could, in a way, respond and blame him. But it gave me an opportunity, even then, to speak about praise. And we shared a few scriptures, and we did a few things, and there was an absolute breakthrough from that point onwards. Do you remember that? But I thought, you know, as a result of that, let's just talk about praise. You know, the title of my message is, This is Why We Praise Him. This is why we praise Him. And we should all be a praising people. And when you look at Scripture, there's three concepts that we actually see in Scripture, in the Bible, that are closely related. And that is praise, worship, and thanksgiving. Very closely related. And they appear in the Bible, and they appear often in the Bible. And I believe it's important for us to be able to distinguish or to know the difference between praise, worship, and thanksgiving. First of all, let's just start off with worship. Worship is really an attitude of heart, right? And it's also got something to do with our posture, right? I can stand here like this with my arms raised, maybe with my head bent, maybe with my whole upper body bent like this, and I can worship the Lord. I can lie down on the concrete over here on the floor, prostrate, and I can worship the Lord. And what's interesting about worship is that I don't have to say anything. Worship, you don't have to stand here. I can stand here, and I can not say a thing and worship the Lord. And yet, when you talk about praise on the other hand is an utterance. Praise is something that comes out of our mouth, and the Bible is emphatic that praise comes out of the mouth. If you want to praise God, you have to open your mouth. You can't praise God and not open your mouth. And then we see thanksgiving is when we give thanks to God for the things that He's actually done. So we can see then that in worship we relate to God's holiness. In praise, when we praise Him, we relate to God's greatness. And in thanksgiving, we relate to the goodness of God. So, of course, this is a very, very brief introduction to the difference between praise, worship, and thanksgiving. I mean, we could talk about this all year. But this morning, I want to focus on one of these, and that is praise. I want to focus on praise this morning. We need to be a praising people. We need to be a people that praise God continually and wholeheartedly. It says in Psalm 48 verse 1, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, the holy mountain." Great, it says great, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. So the Lord is great, and for that very reason, because God is great, for that reason we praise Him. Because He's great. It says so right there. And of course, then praise relates to the greatness of God. And in actual fact, praise is in proportion, we praise Him in proportion to His greatness. And He is so great. So we can praise Him with everything that's in us. Okay. So this morning, I just want to look at seven scriptural facts about praise. The very first one is praise is God's address. It's God's address. It says in Psalm 22 verse 3, "But thou art holy, although that inhabits the praises of Israel." What does that word inhabit mean? It means lived in. It lives in. God lives in the praises of Israel. God lives in the praises of His people. That's where God's live is. God is. In other words, praise is God's address. When we start to praise Him, we're right there where He lives. So if you want to be where God lives, we have to praise Him. It's as simple as that. And as we praise Him, the Bible speaks about we actually building His throne. You know, folks, praise does not make Jesus king. Jesus is King of Kings. Jesus is Lord of Lords, whether you and I choose to praise Him or not. That's just the way it is. So our praise doesn't make Him king. So praise is God's dwelling place and praise is God's throne. That's what it is. And when we praise Him, like I said, we start to build His throne. That's the first point. The next one, praise is the way into His presence. You want to get into the presence of God? Start to praise Him. We all should want to get into the presence of God. The way in, and I'll show you scripture now, the way to get into God's presence is that you and I start to praise Him. In Psalm 100 verse 4 it says, "We enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and His faithfulness to all generations." So we can see here that praise is the way, again, into the presence of God. If you're struggling with your relationship with God and feeling that He's far away, that means that we need to get into His presence. And if you want to get into His presence, we start to praise Him. So we see right there that we actually go through the gates and we go into the courts and we do this with praise and thanksgiving, the Bible says right there. Then, in the scripture that I've just read to us, it gives us three reasons why we should praise God. Why should we? Why should we praise God? It says here that the Lord is good. And for that reason we praise Him. The Bible says that God is good and He's good all the time. But for that reason we praise Him. Then it says, His mercy lasts forever. So we praise Him for that. That His mercy lasts forever. And what is mercy? Mercy is forgiveness and it's also showing compassion. God shows compassion. That's what His mercy is. And then the third one is, His truth endures to all generations. So we can praise Him that His truth endures to all generations because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible says. Thank goodness He doesn't change. He's the same. So each of these statements is always true that I mentioned. That the Lord is good, that His mercy lasts forever, and His truth endures to all generations. So they're all true no matter what happens. No matter what happens, those things don't change. God doesn't change. So if you and I truly want to get into the presence of God, that is the gate that we go through. That is, in fact, the only gate. There's no other way. In Isaiah 60 verse 18, it says, "Violence shall no more be heard in your land. Devastation or destruction within your borders. You shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Call your wall salvation and your gates praise. So God lives in a city that is surrounded by walls, and the walls are salvation. And if you want to go through the wall, you need to go through the gate. And the gate is?
Praise.
It says that right there. Every gate is praise. You shall call your wall salvation and your gates praise. So in other words, without praise, there is no access into God's presence. That's what I'm saying. This praise thing is so important. And we all want to be in His presence. That's the second thing. The next one with praise, okay, it is linked to the favor of God. It's linked to the blessing of God as well. We see in Psalm 106 verse 47, it says, "Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise." That we may glory in your praise. And you can go and look at other translations actually say that we can triumph in your praise. So God saves us. We see their salvation. And then He brings us together for fellowship. And it's fellowship with Him. And it's also fellowship with one another. In fact, that Acts 2 verse, was it 1 verse 42? Or 2 verse 42. It talks about the breaking of bread. It talks about prayer. But it's incredible. Right in amongst all of that, it talks about the fellowship. The fellowship we need to be involved in with each other. Amen. Can't be an island out there. So He wants to give us thanks. That we give thanks to His name, right? That we are able to triumph in this as well. Now, it's very interesting. You know, you remember David. You remember David and Goliath, okay? Little David went out and, you know, he took out Goliath. It's the same David that became king of Israel. Now, David actually went through some difficult times in his life. In fact, the Bible says that, you know, he went through some long, dark, dark, dark stages, phases in his life. And I can say that some of us here, at some point, will go through some difficult, dark times in our own lives. Some of us have already been through that. Now listen to what he wrote in Psalm 30, verse 11. He says, "You have turned for me my mourning." David was at a place where he was mourning. "My mourning into dancing. You have loosened my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness." So he's gone from this mourning to a place of dancing and gladness. And then it says, "That my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." My glory, that my glory may sing your praise. What is my glory? Well, I'm so pleased you asked that question. Because I'm going to try to show you, okay? Because God does these things that our glory may praise Him. Our glory may praise Him and not be silent. But the question is, what is our glory? What is our glory? Now, Psalm 16 verse 9 says this. It says, "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices." Right? Now, on the day of Pentecost, you remember the day of Pentecost when there was an outpouring of the Spirit of God? They looked out, there were signs, wonders, people talking in tongues, there were like sort of fire sitting on the heads of people, and it was just an incredible outpouring of the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost. But on the day of Pentecost, Peter quotes this very verse from Psalm, and he says in Acts 2 verse 26, "Therefore my heart rejoices, and my tongue was glad." Okay? So this tells us that our glory is our? We're still not sure. Our glory is our tongue. He said there, "That my glory may sing your praises and not be silent." When Peter spoke about it, he spoke about the tongue. So when the Bible says that my glory give thanks to you, it means that my tongue will give thanks to you. That's basically what it means. That our tongue needs to give thanks to Him. And David still added on at the end of that, he said, "And not be silent." Now, your tongue, you might have noticed, is an organ that's in your body. It's in your mouth, right? And when God created you, He created you with a tongue, and your tongue either speaks or your tongue is silent. Right. And one of the main reasons that God has actually given us a tongue, guess what it is? So that we can praise Him, folks. That we praise Him. And I'll show you now as we go through more scriptures that we praise Him. And remember too that God, He blesses you and He will deliver you and He will take away your mourning when our tongue starts to praise and exalt and glorify Him. Right? Our tongue, which is our glory, must praise Him and not be silent. The next one that I want to speak about, talking about praise, is praise, the Bible says, is a spiritual garment. A spiritual garment. So in other words, praise is part of our clothing. Praise is part of our spiritual clothing. It says in Isaiah 61 verse 3, it says, to appoint to those who mourn in Zion, to give to them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and listen to this, and the garment of praise, what is it? The garment of praise, a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Why? So that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Now in modern English, right? Modern English, the spirit of heaviness is depression. That's what a spirit of heaviness is. The spirit of heaviness is depression. And the Bible says to us, and I think Angela shared something this morning that ties in with this, because that when you put on the garment of praise, we start to praise, that spirit of heaviness, it's a spirit, folks. The spirit of heaviness will go. That's why it says, put on the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. And I want to encourage us, if ever we feel at a point where we're really feeling down, and, you know, before you go to the doctor and he checks you out and he says, okay, yeah, here's what's this stuff they give you? Prozac, or what do they give you? Antidepressants, or, you know. Before you get to that point, let's take God's word at what it is. Put on the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. If you are feeling down, if you're feeling depressed, go into your room, crank your hi-fi up, have that CD playing, jump onto your bed and start to praise and praise and praise, and you'll find that the spirit of heaviness will flee. But you know, we don't do that. We don't do that. We go, hey, doc, hey, but, you know, this is how I'm feeling, and they just, the immediate response is to, you know, to give us some antidepressant or something. I'm just saying, before we get to that stage, let's take time out and start to praise, and in this, you know, even it's like putting God to the test. God, you said in your word that I must put on the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. I must start to praise you when I'm depressed. And let's just see what happens. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. Amen. The next one, number 5. Supernatural power is released. Supernatural power is released when we start to praise. How can you say that, Dave? Yeah, right? I want to say by praising God, when we praise Him in a way like this, where we are wholeheartedly praising Him, you will see a supernatural intervention from Almighty God in your situation. And let me tell you, there are many examples in the Bible with this. I want to give us two this morning. One from the Old Testament and one from the New. From the Old Testament, this is in 2 Chronicles. And I shared some of this at our prayer meeting this morning, where it says that a strong, when I say strong, folks, you go and read it, a strong alien army was coming in to invade Judah. There was no ways that they could fight. They looked out and they just saw the masses, the numbers, all these people just coming to invade them. And at the time, they had a king and his name was Jehoshaphat. Now, Jehoshaphat realized that he had a problem. Man, there's no ways my little army is going to take out just this horde of people, these soldiers. So he didn't have the military resources. He didn't have the army, the size of the army. He didn't have anything. And you got a problem. Can you imagine? You're the king. You got this little place, this little army, and you just see this army marching towards you, and you know that they come to take you out. So what he did, he actually then resorted to spiritual weapons. And God wants us to resort to spiritual weapons. So before they actually marched out, this is what he did. I want to read it to you in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21. And when he had taken counsel with the people, so he sat down with the people, he had discussed this with the people, they were all on the same page. He appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire. Basically he said, hey guys, we've got a problem here. You know what the solution to our problem is? Choir. Hey, choir, come. Pickle, Jekyll, Freckle, you guys line up here, get your clothes on. Okay? You the choir. Go out. You guys, you going out first. You the choir. I mean, that is ridiculous. Okay? So he sends the choir out. Okay, and let me carry on reading. So it says, so he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire. And as they went before, and they went before the army and say, this is what he said that they're going to do. Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. So now you've got the choir in the front, the army behind the choir, and these dudes are walking out. Give thanks to the Lord, steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. Army, come. Okay? This is what happened. Okay? Give thanks to the Lord, steadfast love endures forever. So like I said, instead of sending out the tanks and the artillery and the... He sends out the praises. Lead the army, praises. Go. And folks, when God's people there started to praise, God intervened, and God intervened supernaturally, and he dealt with their enemies. Let me read you the next verse. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush. Who set the ambush? It wasn't because they had, you know, this little army. The Lord set an ambush against the men, listen to them, of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were defeated. This little army took them out. Isn't that incredible? Okay? Folks, when we are in that situation, when times are tough and we're going through difficult times, right, that is the time to praise. That is the time to praise. You want to see a supernatural intervention from Almighty God on your behalf in your situation. There's an example in the Old Testament. Example in the New Testament. We all know the story. What about Paul and Silas? Paul and Silas are in jail, right? The Bible says it's midnight and they were beaten. They were, you know, treated very, very badly. And you can imagine that their backs were covered in blood, right, Paul and Silas? And they were now taken to prison, but not just put in the prison. The Bible says that they were put in maximum security. In other words, this was a dungeon under the dungeons that they were put into right there. And it was they were in stocks. It says their hands and their feet were in stocks. And I can tell you, unlikely they had a little candle there. Hey guys, do you want a little candle so you can see what's going on? You know, just to make you comfortable. And I was just trying to picture this, how dark it must have been. I was going to say, well, they couldn't see their hands. Well, they couldn't because their hands were actually in stocks. All right, so they were tied up and you probably found a little rats and mice were nibbling their finger ends. Hey? Imagine being tied up in that. Don't know what was going on in there. Imagine what it smelled like in there. Anyway, they were in there. In stocks. So what do they do next? They start to praise and pray. And folks, again, that is at a time when you don't feel like doing it. That's the last thing that they wanted to do. Listen, I'll read it from Acts 16. It says, and about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, this is interesting. Remember that they were put into the inner dungeon, right deep in there. They must have been doing it loud. They went, hey, Paul, let's praise the Lord. Praise, praise, praise Jesus. Yeah, Silas, good idea. Folks, it wasn't like that. They started to praise wholeheartedly. It says that the other guys, you know, the other prisoners heard them. It says, and the prisoners were listening to them. And as they started to praise, the next verse 26 says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Praise. God intervened, created an earthquake. Supernatural intervention. If you want supernatural intervention in your own life, whatever it is that you are going through, through your difficult situation, your impossible situation, I want to encourage you. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him wholeheartedly. That's the key. And that's the key that will release the presence and God's intervention, supernatural intervention into your own situation. And let me say this too, that it's normally at a time when you do not feel like praising. Do you think when Jehoshaphat looked out and he saw this mob of people coming towards him, oh God, let's praise. He was intimidated by that when he saw it. Paul and Silas, when they had been beaten up and put in stocks and into the inner dungeon, do you really think that they felt like praising God right there? They did. They praised God in the situation. And it's in those situations that you will see an incredible release of the power of presence of God in your situation. The next thing, number six, praise as a spiritual weapon. Praise is a spiritual weapon. And it's a weapon of warfare. And now this is David speaking, right? In Psalm 8 verse 20, 8 verse 2, it says, out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. Out of your mouths. So out of your mouths, something happens out of your mouths that you can still the enemy. Who's the enemy here? Satan's the enemy. We better know he's the enemy. And so we need to silence him. Why? Because the Bible says that he is the accuser of the brethren. You know, he will lay a number, start pointing at you and telling you what a little wimp you are and a bad Christian. And he continually, there's accusation coming from him. That's what he does. He's the accuser. Continually. Okay? And so we need to silence him. We need to silence the accuser of the brethren. And the strength that comes out of our mouth will do it. But what is it? Because the word doesn't tell us what it is. It says, came out of their mouths, but what was it? Doesn't tell us. Now this is very interesting because Jesus quoted the same scripture, and I'm going to read it to us in Matthew 21 verse 16. Jesus quotes the same scripture. Let me read it. And he says, and Jesus said to them, yet you have never read, now he's referring to Psalm 8 verse 2, that I've just read to you. Yet you have never read that out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have perfected praise. Perfected praise. So David said that you have established strength. When Jesus actually said it by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he changed it and so that it would be perfected praise. So folks, we can see right there that it's this established strength we're talking about. Right there. For God's people is praise. Perfected praise. When we perfect praise, there's the realm, the spiritual realm, the demonic realm starts to quiver and shake. Because we have authority over the works of the evil one. Amen. Again, Jesus used the word praise. It's praise. So we shut him out. We actually take away those weapons of his, those weapons of accusation is his big one that he keeps on pointing at us. Okay? And I want to tell you, this is why the devil will do whatever he can to stop you and I from praising. He will stop you. He will tell you it's a waste of time. Don't do it. Because he knows that as soon as you rise up and start to become one that praises God continually, you start to impact negatively on his kingdom. So he will convince us that we shouldn't praise, and then we don't. And he says, thank goodness. Thank goodness. The final thing that I want to share about praise is that praise is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. It will cost you something. A sacrifice costs you something. we see in Jeremiah 33, verse 11, it talks about bringing the sacrifice of praise, into the house of the Lord, right? And the sacrifice that God actually wants us to bring into His place, okay, is praise. That's what He wants. That's what it is. But we see it also in the New Testament in Hebrews. Let me read Hebrews 13, 15 to you. By Him, then, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Remember, I said right in the beginning, the difference between praise and worship. Praise has to come out of our lips. Worship can come out of our lips, but praise has to come out of our lips, out of our mouths. Continue, that is the fruit of our lips confessing His name. Folks, when you start to praise God, when everything is going well, that's Hebrews 13, 15. When you're praising God, when everything is going well, it's good. Don't stop doing it. But I want to tell you, that's not a sacrifice. That's not a sacrifice. When you're praising God and everything's going well in your life, that is not a sacrifice. When things are not going in well in your life and looks like the wheels are falling off your life, then, and you start to praise Him, that is a sacrifice. It's costing you something. When it costs you something to praise God, when you don't feel like it, do you think Jehoshaphat, do you think, I said just now, do you think he felt like praising God when that army came? He was so busy and intimidated, and you can imagine what he went through. Paul and Silas in the dungeon, do you think they really, hey, this, all we want to do now is just praise God? No, you don't want to praise God at times. But when you do, especially when you go through trials and tribulations, difficult times, that is when it becomes a sacrifice, and this is when we see God's intervention. This is a time that we need to do it. We need to praise Him. So just in closing, okay, remember that there are three main reasons why we actually praise God. Just that scripture I read to us. Number one, He is good. We praise God because He's good. His mercies are everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Like I said, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I've shared this, like I said, as a result of what happened, you know, a couple of weeks ago when we were struggling as a church, yeah, to praise. And I would like us, you know, each one of us to actually make a commitment to ourselves that from this point onwards, especially when we gather together, that we praise Him wholeheartedly. I've given you all the reasons why, all the benefits. A lot of the benefits, He wants us to do it, but a lot of the benefits are for ourselves as well. That when we get together as a church, that we start to praise Him wholeheartedly as a church. Again, that we're praising Him because that is where God lives. He lives in our praises. He lives within the praises of His people. And also for positioning ourselves so that we can be well positioned for His favor and blessings to be poured out. And also that we are anticipating a supernatural intervention from God in our difficult times. That's why we praise Him. But let's praise Him at home. The Bible talks about it, that we praise Him in our closet, right? But when we gather together, we need to open up our mouths and wholeheartedly praise Him with everything. Not only will you be blessed, right? But this, us corporately, will be blessed as well. Amen. Let's start to make that decision today, and even from next week, let's start to be wholehearted in our praise when we gather together, and also our praise at home as well. Claude is coming forward, so here's an opportunity to praise Him. Let's praise Him.